Hi, everyone, and welcome to our weekly live. Coach Veronica is with us. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. Yourself, Danielle?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. And for those of you, I think we can share a little update with the community here, which is that you and I are, maybe we talked about this before, but I think we haven't, you know, you and I haven't been on a call as the Orange team before. So here we are. For those of you who are like, what are you talking about? Well, me and Coach Veronica, we are taking care of our new immunity program, which is really nice, right?
Yes, absolutely. I'm really, really excited about it, and I'm really looking forward to working with the clients.
Yeah, it's really nice. So we started, we opened this like last week was our first week, and there was a few students, and I was actually sharing in an Instagram story just now that how in the beginning it was kind of like quiet, everybody's a little shy, nobody's saying anything, but then just one person starts to share, and then people jump in, and it's already becoming this nice little community, you know. It's so nice.
Yeah People are basically helping each other, and this is really what it's about.
Yeah it's really that's the magic of group coaching that I've discovered. Like it's so wonderful when you see somebody, you know, in the program helping another person, because I think even like I would say this, even, and by the way, for those of you joined here, feel free to just share your questions in the comment section, and we'll get to them. But even for, you know, like I didn't go through the struggle with insomnia myself, so that makes me, you know, it can make it a little harder for people to like really like, does Daniel get it? Does it connect with me? And even people like yourself, after a while, you know, when people are like, well, you know, Coach Veronica, Coach Alina, they haven't struggled with this for like a long time, so do they really get me? I think it's something special when somebody who's actually in the program, in there, you know, is helping out. It's kind of extra special, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. Right? Yep.
All right. Well, with that said, actually, we're, you know, waiting for some questions to come in. And absolutely. Go ahead.
I have prepared, once again, a little observation that I had. And so if I can just start, actually recently during a one-on-one call with a client I had, she told me like her thoughts really quickly bring emotions. And this reminded me what happened to me not so long time ago. And it was, I was actually doing something absolutely not related with sleep coaching or sleep or anything. But then suddenly I got a thought. And this thought was, what if my child will ever have insomnia? What if my child will ever experience insomnia? What I had to undergo? And it was literally in a split of a second, I felt a huge fear in my body. You know, I was literally like in a cramp. I had my stomach turning, I had heavy breathing, my heart was pounding, and then I realized, okay, because in the sleep coach school, we teach a lot about thoughts and emotions, so I deployed what I learned. So I created distance. Okay, I see what is happening here. My brain is sending me a thought about my child possibly having insomnia in his life. And at first, so basically I created the distance at first. Then I acknowledged the thought. Yes, this is possible. My child can have insomnia. And basically most of the population have troubled sleep or sleeplessness, but eventually insomnia in their life. So, and then I disproved the thought. And okay, so just because I'm his mother and as a sleep coach, this means that I can help him to get over this experience. And when I realized this, it was like, again, I calmed down. And it was a result of this thought work. And it is really, really amazing, like how we can create the distance, how we can deploy this thought work, and really, this thought never came again. Or basically, I can have these thoughts because I'm talking about it right now, but it doesn't bring these emotions. So this
is what I want. Really nice. And I'm so curious, like this whole, from the moment you sort of had that thought, you had all the fear response, if you will, and you kind of like, you looked at the thought, you acknowledged it, you kind of met the thought. What time frame did this whole thing unfold in?
It was really, really, really just a couple of minutes. It was really, really quick. So, I think this is also helpful when you kind of like internalize like what you learn and basically actually what I teach, that I can, you know, it's easier for me to explain to people how this works. So, yeah, I just wanted to show this as an example, like how to work with the thought and how does it look like and what could be the result.
Yeah, no, that's super nice. And, you know, I just want to share something I reflected on sometimes, which is that whatever we do for a living, it, you know, can have some added benefits. Like, for example, if somebody is an electrician, let's say, that's nice. If you're going to install some light fixture in your house, you can do it yourself. You know, like all things have like practical things, but really like being in this world of like sleep coaching or like inner work or like thoughts and emotions, it's really helpful, right? It's because we all go through these things all the time. We're scared, we're frazzled, we're like, you know, so it's nice when we can, you know, deploy what we teach like to ourselves in a way, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because whatever we teach here, we can deploy to sleep, but also for life in general, for life problems, life events. So this is even nicer.
It's super nice. And I have to add one more thing here, which is, you know, you said how, well, let me put it this way. In that moment when you had the thought and you were scared, it wasn't like you learned everything about thought work and how thoughts and emotions are connected or in that moment. Like in that moment, there's probably little we can do. But because you had internalized all this teaching over time, it's automatically helped, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this can be like, people often ask, like, what can I do when I'm sort of in a panic attack or I'm in really, really scared? And oftentimes in that moment, maybe there isn't so much we can do then. But if we do this learning and education and hard work and thought work in sort of in between or when things are a little easier, then it's like it sinks in and we are automatically prepared when we have these kind of stronger things, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's super helpful when we can... Yeah, so ready for life.
Yeah. All right, we have some questions here. So let us jump in. And firstly, Enrique is here and says, just want to say, this man is the reason I'm happy after so many months of suffering. That's wonderful. I guess you're referring to me. That's amazing. Unfortunately, everything in Brazil is super expensive due to our weak currency, but this free content is great. So glad you're here. And you get bought my book. That's super nice. And says, I'm still struggling so much with this insomnia. By the way, I react to it so much less dramatically than before. Sometimes I cried overnight. And so, you know, when I hear this, I'm super glad, of course. And it sounds like Enrique is like not crying as much as before, but was crying a lot overnight. So maybe we can just share our thoughts on this. Like when somebody is like crying, you know, when you just hear that, Veronica, like somebody's crying because of their struggle, sleep, insomnia, like what does that bring to mind when you hear that?
I cried a lot too. And this is super normal and expected. And if you feel like crying, just cry. Just don't hold it inside of you, because you know, crying is a way how our body is shaking off the hyperarousal, the anxiety, the stress. And if you think about it, after crying, we feel so peaceful and calm. And I even went so far that sometimes I just wanted to cry, because I felt so good afterwards that I even slept better. So I kind of made a sleep effort out of crying. So, I mean, this is not the right way to go. But it just, whatever feel inside of you, you just need to bring it on the surface. So it doesn't bubble underneath. So it is really, really helpful.
Yeah, yeah, totally agree. Like crying to me is like this, it's sort of it's a lot about release, right? When we're crying, we're not trying to hold something back anymore. We're releasing it. And also like tears are sort of like, I think of them as like a clue. They're a clue that there is some type of strong emotion, but we don't know which one actually, because tears could be from sadness, anger, frustration, also release and joy, which is one of the nicest things when, you know, people are like, I was so relieved that I cried, but yeah. All right, just some comments on tears there. Super glad you're seeing things get easier, Enrique. And let's jump over here to Brandon, who's here, and as who says, some insight I wanted to share. Just spent a week in Jamaica. My sleep wasn't extremely different, more good days than bad. But while on vacation, my worried thoughts about sleep were basically zero, which means better sleep. 4 out of 7 nights I slept over 5 hours, which is better than any week I've had in the past year. I think being in a stress-free environment plus a king-sized bed, LOL, helped me a lot. All right. All right. Very, very nice. Lots of things we could talk a little bit about here, Veronica. But yeah, overall, when you hear this from Brandon, what are your thoughts when you hear this?
First of all, it's really nice to have vacation, even nicer if we can enjoy them. And it's when we are on vacation, there are so many distractions that we really often don't think about sleep. We don't think about our struggles. And we just enjoy there. And I don't know if he wanted to go in this direction that he might have expected sleep being better. And if was it not, it is still okay. Because, you know, there are so many processes in our brain which are subconscious, which we cannot influence. The important is that you felt nice. And you were not bothered by the amount of sleep. Although I can still see that he's monitoring, like, for 4 to 7 days, I slept this much hours, and so on. So this is, I can still see send some monitoring, and that the brain really wants to have the grasp, the control over sleep. And which is still normal. It's okay. Our brain still, it loves control. And what is important is that just to notice it. Okay, my brain here is trying to have control. And if this doesn't become an effort, like, okay, I slept 5 hours, I need to get more, it is okay. So just seeing the process, just seeing what our brain is trying to do, how it wants to try to control, it neutralizes the let's say effort.
Yeah, exactly. No, great points about, like, okay, to summarize, like, Brandon sees that even if he didn't sleep necessarily like fantastic or super long every night or anything like that, he had a great time. He didn't worry about sleep at all, which is like highlighting that we can have a nice experience even if we don't get ideal sleep.
Yeah.
Point number one. Point number two, exactly. I saw that too. Like, Brandon is still kind of like comparing 7 hours versus 5 hours, 6 hours, which is, you know, normal. We don't judge ourselves for that. That's easy. But yes, when we're not tracking anymore, that tends to lead to even sleep having easier. And what else? There's some other things, like whenever I hear about somebody saying, like, I took a vacation, I think that I always kind of point out that that's nice, because for a lot of in our community, they're like, don't want to go on a trip or a vacation or something like that because they're scared. Like, what if I don't sleep when I go there? So just deciding to go on a trip is kind of a sign of courage and living your free life, which is very, very nice. And I think that is it. Yeah, maybe one comment, last comment on the stress-free environment, which is like, I think it is of course true. I mean, it's of course true for all of us that when we're stressed, we tend to have like maybe a little choppier sleep, right? But that's actually completely different from insomnia. Like, all of us can sleep less when we're stressed for work reasons or anything like that, sleep easier on vacation, but that's completely different from the self-perpetuating ongoing struggle that we call insomnia. And the reason I point this out is that if we think like, oh, my day has to be stress-free, otherwise I won't sleep well, that's tricky because like we can't control that, you know? But rather when we go like, yeah, even if there's some stress that can cause me to have a little bit of choppy sleep, but it has nothing to do with insomnia, it's not gonna like really affect me that much. I think that makes things easier, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's keep going here. Stella is with us and she is saying, and by the way, if anyone has a different pronoun, you can just comment on it. I'm just gonna go by, you know, what I'm guessing. She says, can you please comment on whether perimenopause can impact sleep? To what extent, if any? Immense gratitude for everything you do. So glad you're here. Any time. And if there's time, is there any merit to Z drugs negatively impacting GABA receptors long term, or is it complete fallacy? Just finished reading NATO. Thank you. Well, so glad you're here again. And this is a nice question. So when you hear this one, can perimenopause impact sleep? And if so, to what extent? What are your thoughts when you hear that one, Veronica?
Actually, there is anything what can impact sleep. It could be also perimenopause, it can be hormones, it can be any drugs, it can be stress, and so on and so forth. And it only depends on our reaction, how we will react to our, basically, which is disrupted sleep. Because we can have disrupted sleep, we can have more shallow sleep, we can have different type of sleep, because in our life, the sleep pattern changes, and this is normal. But we don't have to suffer from it. And what we suffer when we react to it negatively, when we just get scared, when we just ruminate, why is our sleep shallow? Why we don't sleep this amount of hours when we slept that amount of hours before some time ago? And this is what is important to realize, that it doesn't have to be a struggle, even with a lower amount of sleep.
Yeah, 100%. I agree 100%. And it's like basically what we're saying about like sleep disruption definitely can be caused by perimenopause and menopause. And I think actually a lot of sleep disruption, sleep can be quite disrupted. Just like you experience when you're pregnant, you have to pee all the time, things like that. Sleep can be very disrupted. But that's completely different from insomnia. We don't have to struggle. And I would say to the second one here, Z drugs, I would just say no medical advice here, but you know, I think these type of drugs have been available for like decades, and many people have come off them with no like sequelae whatsoever. And I see, generally speaking, I think they're very safe. That's my, I think so. I don't think there's any reason to be worried about that.
If I may just add, was on the benzos, on the Z-drugs, and I came off them, and I'm fine.
There we have it. Ronnie says, live and well.
Yeah, alive and kicking.
All right.
So,
very nice. Yeah. Let us check in here with Suspended Mofo. What is that? Fear of missing out. Missing out of fear. I don't know. Anyway, hi there. I wake up in the middle of the night. Can I go from my bed onto the couch and lie there, or should I stay mildly active till I get tired again? Thank you for your work. Yes, I can go first here. So just to mix it up a little bit. Common question. And I would say this, that to me, this is a question of basically what is the ideal thing for me to do when I wake up in the middle of the night? Is it better for me to go on the couch, or should I stay mildly, like, et cetera, et cetera? So to me, this goes to like kind of the basic principle of ours, is that sleep is actually effortless. Like, you know, we sleep well when we're not trying to sleep or not putting any effort in. And when we're trying to kind of find out like, okay, is this better or is that better? We're automatically in this kind of effort mode. We're trying to kind of manipulate, control, predict our sleep, which tends to make us a little hyper aroused, a little preoccupied, and then we don't sleep quite as well. So I would say that the answer is more or less something like whatever we feel like doing, that isn't like connected to sleep really, really helps. For example, if you find that you're awake in the middle of the night and you actually feel nice and comfy in your bed and you don't feel like doing anything in particular, you can just lie there and rest. Or if you feel a little frustrated in bed and you're like, I'd rather do something else, then you can do something else. And it doesn't have to be mildly active either. Like a lot of people in our community have found that when you do something like quite active, I don't know, cleaning the house or watching some Netflix, that's really helpful. And it sounds like the most common like follow-up question, I guess, when I say this, like, well, isn't that going to make me more awake? Then I just say, well, then that you've discovered something really helpful there, which is that there is this fear of being awake there. And when we see that fear of being awake, it's even more an invitation to do things that actually are quite active or whatever we feel like, to sort of teach ourselves that being awake is not it's not a threat, it's not dangerous. And when we're like what we call befriending wakefulness that way, that really, really helps. So that's how I would answer this one. But what do you say, Veronica?
Yes, I absolutely agree. And I just would like to maybe add that about the nice moments at night. You know, during the night, we have really, really many bad memories of how we suffered during the night. But when we try to approach it with what can I do? How can I use this my awake time to feel a bit more nicer, to make myself more comfortable? This is really helpful, because when we find these tiny sparks of joy, we are replacing these negative memories. And we are basically sending the signal to the brain, hey, it's okay to be awake at night. There is no threat whatsoever. So, and we just start to feel safe. We show our brain that we are safe. For example, just very simply for me, I like to watch some kind of funny show in the middle of the night. And it was because no matter how angry I was or upset I was, or tired, they always say something funny that made me laugh. And you know that it was tiny sparks of joy that made me feel more comfortable. And it really was about it.
That's nice. That's a really nice teaching about the tiny sparks of joy. Wow. Let's see. How are we? We're pretty good on time. Let's check in with Christina here, who says, if I'm going at this by educating myself by watching the free content, but not improving as fast as I think I should do, I know if I'm keep pressing on or if I should get a coach, I fear, what if I'm missing something? Or am I just looking for more help, almost like being my last big sleep effort? Like if I don't get a coach, I won't recover. Yeah. Interesting question. Well, you know, was that?
If I may start, I have thought about it, and it's really nice to get the education. But really, you have a huge content, Daniel. You have like 1,000 videos, and it might be a bit overwhelming and confusing to people. Where to start? What should I watch now? And you know, and sometimes also you described it once that you got these dots of education. And when you get a coach, you can get these dots connected. I really like this analogy, and it makes a huge sense to me, because I can really see it when I work with clients one-on-one, like really thinking and pondering and ruminating about something. But they just ask to a coach and they get the answer immediately. And they don't need to ruminate anymore because they get the answer. I mean, of course, it's up to you, Christina. But to have someone to lead you over the process is really, really helpful. Of course, you can get over it by yourself. It takes time. Even with a coach, it is a process. It doesn't happen immediately that after one or two calls, you will recover. It takes time, and first of it is the education, and then you need to internalize it. So these were my
thoughts. Yeah, no, that was a great answer, and I think that the kind of you know, fear, Christina said, is like, could this be like a sleep, you know, effort? Like, you know, and I've never seen that happen. Like somebody, you know, joining and then the fact that they're deciding to work with us, like that becomes a reason that they struggle, because there's like the whole, in the whole philosophy is kind of like educating you, you know, not to use anything in that regard. So I would just basically say, like Veronica here, if you're, you know, you probably have an inner compass. If you feel like just kind of consuming the free content is leading you where it's kind of leading you where you want to be, that's nice. But if not, if you like, yeah, like some help connecting the dots, as I used to say before, we're here. Very nice. Okay. Let's, here's Christina. I have too many dots, but I don't think it's all connecting. Well said. Yeah, I agree. Agree. Well said. All right. Well, let's do one more from Sleepy Guy. I had severe insomnia for 8 months, 1 to 3 hours of sleep per night. My cognitive function and personality have changed completely for the worse. What actual damage would have incurred?
I can go on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry for your struggles, absolutely. I totally know how does it feel. I suffered from insomnia for 8 years. So I was hopeless, helpless, and I totally relate to what you're saying, that the cognitive functions just go down. And this is true, because when we are so extremely sleep deprived, I went on days and nights on no sleep, and I didn't have even naps during the day. Like, people were telling me, okay, you don't sleep at night, so sleep during the day. How? Because I was so hyper aroused. Just my hyper arousal was producing more and more hyper arousal, and I just wasn't able to sleep. So, and you were asking about the damage, and you know what I believe here is in the ability of our human body to recover. And, you know, our brain, our bodies, they are just created for survival. And even if we are struggling for some time, we will recover no matter what. So you can be really, really deep in the struggle. You can feel like, you will never remember anything. It was my problem also. I have to even say that my experience was like, when I was really in the thick of insomnia, and because it was for such a long time, I still try to live my life. And a few years later, I met a friend, and she told me, "Do you remember, like, when you came to visit me and my newborn baby?" And I did not remember that. It was completely out of my mind. I absolutely wasn't present there. And, but it's changed. I have recovered. I'm recovered since, I can say, like 1.5 years. And my memory is back. My cognitive functions are back. And let it be your last worry, sleepy guy. Okay?
Sounds wonderful. Yeah, let's just end there. It was beautifully said, Veronica. And I will just say thank you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. It's been super nice having you here. Thank you for joining again, Veronica. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.